I'm going to ask my grandfather to come as he's singing that. You know, I have a lot of memories. I really do. And was privileged to be able to be raised in the church that I now pastor. My grandfather, when he started the church, I understand they had 17 people the very first week. Five of those were the pastor's family, and then the week following, they had five people on a Sunday morning. And I've never had to go through that. I've never had to do that. I'll have my own challenges, I'm sure. But I've never had to do what this man has had to do. I remember, if I get started, I'll take all your preaching time, and then you'll kill me. And so I don't want to do that. But I remember so much about growing up. But probably the thing that sticks out to me, if to summarize it, is just the consistency. You know, we didn't have everything 25 years ago that we have now. But we had God, and that was enough. And I'm glad for everything we have now. But sometimes I wonder if we start thinking that what we have is more important than why we're here. We have to be mindful of that. This is why on Anniversary Sunday, as long as God allows it, and as long as we can do this, I want my grandfather to preach the Sunday morning service. Because I want our church to know, many of you, well, let me ask the question, how many of you have been coming as recent as, in other words, you weren't here before this, but the last 6 years you came to our church? Raise your hand if that's you. Yes, okay. That's a lot of you, and you never knew what it was like to have this man as your pastor. And I'm thankful that he was my pastor for all those years, and I'm thankful that he's also my grandfather. I'm thankful that I can introduce him in such a way today, and I hope that you'll just enjoy it this morning. Come preach to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm so glad to be here today and thankful for what God is doing in Faithway Baptist Church. It's absolutely amazing what God is doing, not only what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to do. If you looked at Bakey Road Baptist Church 48 years ago, you would not give it much credibility. There was nothing there. And I, as a preacher, was just an old country boy, and God has given us a great ministry. All glory and honor goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, not a man. Now, 48 years later, we are grateful to see what God is doing in this place. Stephen Russ has pastored for the past 6 years, and I believe with all my heart that God has His hand on this young man. Greater things are ahead. And it's not because he's my grandson. It's because God is doing something. I'm just an old country boy. That's all I'll ever be. I'm just an old country preacher. Matter of fact, it reminds me of this city slicker that moved his family to the country. And he wanted to be a farmer. And they were riding down the road one day in the horse and wagon, and they come to the crossroads. And there was a sign there that said, "Two mules for sale." And he said to his wife, he said, "You know, I've always wanted two mules." He said, "I'm going to take you home, and Junior and I are going to go back and see about getting those two mules." So he took his wife home, went back to the crossroads, went down to where the other farmer lived, and the old farmer sitting on the front porch, and the fellow drove up and said, I understand you got two mules for sale." He said, no, don't have any mules for sale." He said, "Well, your sign said you had two mules for sale." He said, "Well," he said, "I've already sold them." But the old farmer, he sized him up real quick. And he had two little watermelons sitting on his porch. He said, "No," said, "all I've got left is those two mule eggs." He said, I'll be glad to sell them to you." He said, "Well, I always did want a pair of mules, and maybe that's the way I'll get them. I'll just buy those two mule eggs." So he loaded those two mule eggs on the back of his wagon, and down the road they went, and they was riding down the road, and the fellow looked back, and one of those mule eggs had fell off on the ground and had busted wide open. And there was a great big old jackrabbit that jumped out of the bushes and started eating that watermelon. He said, quick, son, said, grab it. It's already hatched. They chased that jackrabbit all over creation. They chased and chased and chased. And finally, the old man said, stop, son. Said, let it go. I didn't want to plow that fast anyway. Unity is the greatest need for our churches. The greatest need that we have is unity. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God would want to see unity in our churches. There has never, ever been unity in the so-called church. Not one time. For instance, what if, and that word if is a big word, isn't it? But what if every Catholic church you walked into was preaching the same thing? What if every Presbyterian church, every Methodist church, every Baptist church, every Nazarene church, every Charismatic church, what if every church you went into was preaching the same thing? We would change this world, wouldn't we? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. It says this, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So God wants us all to speak the same thing. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 and see what that has to say, and see if we can't find out something today that we would be beneficial in learning. In verse 10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, isn't that amazing? The Bible says that we are supposed to all speak the same thing. Now, we're not doing that in our churches. I mean, churches are so divided and so out of shape that if you looked at the body of Christ, which is the church. The church is the body of Christ. Amen? If you looked at that church through the eyes of God, I think you would see a deformed, crippled church that cannot get the job done. And yet God is molding and shaping this church into what He wants it to be. God wants us to all speak the same thing. Did you know that all banks speak the same thing? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever wondered what would happen if you walked into a bank and they're different, like churches? But yet they all speak the same thing. You know exactly to the penny what's in that bank. Now, they may all be doing business differently, and they may have a different interest rate, but if they advertise 5% interest, you know exactly what that 5% is. You take a $100 bill into any bank anywhere in the whole country, and they know exactly to the penny, and you know exactly to the penny what's in that $100 bill. There's no argument. Why are churches like this? It's a shame, isn't it? Well, you know, My wife, bless her heart, only she could put up with me. Thank the Lord that she has. But she used to be secretary to the president of the bank back before computers. okay? And every day before she would get out, I would park on the side of the street and wait for her to come get in the car and go home. Some days it'd be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And she'd come out and I'd say, well, how far were you off today? They were off 3 cents. I said, I'd gladly put that 3 cents in. Well, you don't understand. They've got to know exactly where that 3 cents is. Because when the bank examiners come in, they want to know exactly to the penny what's in that bank. So all banks speak the same thing. Now, there are literally thousands of teachers teaching arithmetic to literally millions of students all over this country. And did you know that not one of those teachers is right? How many teachers we got in here? Any teachers? Not one. Not one teacher teaching math is right. Are you with me yet? It's not the teacher, it's the math. It's the math that's right, not the teacher. Matter of fact, what little education I got, they taught us to check your answer to make sure it's right. Amen? You had to check your answer to make sure you've got the right answer. You multiply by dividing, you divide by multiplying, and so forth and so on. And so not one teacher teaching math in this country is right. It's the math. Well, let's bring it home. Not one preacher is right. There are literally thousands upon top of thousands of preachers and pulpits in this country all over the place today preaching just like we are today, and not one of those preachers is right. Not one. I've been wrong all my life. Have you ever noticed that? We're all wrong, and God is in the process of making us right. So it's not the preacher that's right. It's this book. It's this book. This is what's right. And if the preacher does not get what's in this book, then he's not preaching the truth. And that is happening all over our country. It's amazing that people will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if I can get there in just a moment here, and we'll read a few words. I'm not as good as our pastor in getting to the scriptures because I'm old and getting out of shape. But 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And there are people all over this country that have itching ears to tell them what they want to hear. God help us. God help us. Because it's not about some teacher teaching you the Word of God. You see, it's an amazing thing. Somebody says, well, how do you interpret the Word of God? You don't. You don't interpret the Word of God. The Bible is plain. The Bible is of no private interpretation. And that includes every preacher under the sun. No private interpretation. God settled His Word forever before the foundation of the world. One of our presidential candidates has come out with his own Bible explaining how stupid and ignorant the writers of the Bible were. Have you read about that? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And how in the world are you going to speak the same thing when you got 4011 different Bibles out there? 4011, that's a Kentucky term, in case you were wondering. I mean, how in the world are you going to speak the same thing with all kinds of different publishing companies trying to make money off of the Bible? Let's just stick with the King James. Amen. Teachers having itching ears. Is that what you're looking for? Or are you looking for somebody to tell you the truth? By the way, Stephen Russ is not right. He is in the group of all these preachers in the whole country. But I'll tell you one thing. I've been listening to him for 6 years, and I haven't heard anything yet that I disagreed with. Because it has to agree with this book. If it don't agree with this book, then it don't agree. And I've been listening for 6 years, and I'm absolutely amazed, not because he's my grandson, but because of what God did. Because, you know, he sure didn't get it from me. Somebody says, well, he's just a chip off the old block. No. But it's amazing, absolutely amazing what God is doing in this church. You see, it's like this. The Bible is of no private interpretation. However, it does interpret itself. If you've got a question about some doctrine in the Bible, all you have to do is search the scripture, because the interpretation is there in the Bible, and it'll tell you just exactly what it means. I was driving down a street one day in another city, and I passed by three different churches that all had the name of Christ, and every one of them teaching something different. Isn't that amazing? When the Bible says that I would that you all speak the same thing. By the way, there is one teacher. You may have thousands of preachers preaching the Word of God, but you only have one teacher to teach you the Word of God. If you'll get that straight in your mind, it'll help you more than you can begin to imagine. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so it's amazing, absolutely amazing. Now look down at verse 26 of that same chapter. But, if I can get it out here, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If you can get that straight in your mind, that'll help you more than you've ever been helped in your life. You've got one teacher to teach you the Word of God. That is He, the Holy Spirit. But first, He has to live inside. You have to be saved. You have to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The truth is available to anyone and everyone. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I am not a protector of the truth. You know why? The truth needs no protection. The truth always reveals itself if you want to know the truth. And the Bible plainly says, if you'll know the truth will make you free. Are you free? Are you free? Are you studying your Bible? God help us today, Brother Stephen.